As I was thinking about the significance of this event, of Swami meeting Master for the first time so many years ago, and us here now celebrating and honoring that event, it just reminded me that our path is rooted in that guru-disciple relationship. And it's almost as if the guru is holding our hand in one hand at this image, and on the other side, the guru is holding hands with God, because the guru is here to introduce us to God, and he won't ever ask of us anything that God himself wouldn't ask of us. We all know those were some of the words that Master actually said to Swami on the day of their meeting, because I think Swami hadn't yet found someone who he felt was worth following. And so he had some doubts, but Master reassured him that there was no personal motive in the relationship. He was only there to act as an instrument of God, to be like a window to the infinite. And as I was thinking back on my own disciple ceremony, which I think is a really sweet thing to do on an occasion like this, just as couples are encouraged to think about their early days together or the day that they took their wedding vows, I think each of us can receive inspiration by sort of transporting ourselves back to the day that we took our discipleship vows and how meaningful that was for us. And I think what I remember most from that ceremony is not only just the sweetness of it all and the deep gratitude, but just really this feeling of comfort, like coming home. I was only 14 at the time when I took my discipleship vows, and you know, that's a time in life where you definitely need guidance. I still need it every day of my life, but definitely then it's like you're trying to figure out which direction should I move, where should I focus my energy, and thank God for Yogananda and for Swami introducing me to him. And just that feeling of comfort, like, okay, my life is in good hands from now on. Not that I didn't have to put out any energy or it's not like the work had been done yet, but there was just this feeling of, okay, as long as I stick with him, I'm going to be okay. And the idea of Master being a guide has always been something that's touching to me, because a guide implies wisdom, right? He has to know the way if he's going to lead others. So Master's already walked this path. He's already been through the struggle. He's won the battle. He knows the struggles that lie ahead, the obstacles. And unlike us, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and next year because he lives in timelessness. So who else can we trust but someone like that? I remember as a teenager actually praying for someone, to have a friend that I could always depend on, someone who I could always share my thoughts and feelings with, and I just wish there was someone who was always available, but no human can possibly be available that often. And I soon realized, oh yes, the friend that I've been seeking, I already have. He's right here. I just haven't been relying on him enough. And you know, the other great news is that the Master, because he's walked the trail, he's walked the path, he also knows the shortcuts. Hence the reason he called Kriya Yoga the airplane route to God. Thank goodness for that. And so I was just thinking about what are the ways in which I've found success over the years in tuning into the guru and his guidance. The first way I found is through asking for guidance. kind of seems simple, right? But how many times do we forget? You know, we've probably all been to a meeting where we forgot to pray at the beginning, and oh boy, things didn't go so well. So just asking, remembering to ask for the Guru's grace, ask, what do you think about this situation? What choice should I make here? And then listening for the response, right? That's kind of tricky to remember too, is we ask and then we just go about our business. And I think we all have beautiful stories that we could share where we, you know, could compare the times where we brought the Guru along with us and the times when we didn't. And you can compare the results, and sometimes they're really drastic. I have a real simple example. Yesterday I was feeling a little anxious and concerned because our two cats hadn't come home in the evening at the time that they usually arrive. And the next morning, they still weren't there. And anyone who has pets, you know, they're like family members. So it was concerning, and we do see a lot of predators lurking in the area. And so as I was sitting to meditate that morning, I was just talking inwardly to God, just keeping that conversation going that I so much enjoy. And I said something like, or just thought something like, oh, it would be so nice to continue to enjoy those sweet cats that you've gifted us with for a little bit longer, if it's your will. And in a few moments, I heard the cat door open, and one of the cats came into the meditation room and sat with me, and a few moments later, the second one came in, and it was just beautiful. You know, it's like when you see those things happen in your life time and time again, you realize it's not a coincidence. You know that there's this beautiful relationship that's building, and there's love there, there's comfort, there's support, there's, you know, a response. It's real, it's a living presence. And the other way that I've found, you know, success in staying present with the Guru is through practicing the techniques that he's given us. So for me especially, Kriya has been such a root, a solid foundation to base my life on. And I think, you know, as we bring that energy up and down the spine, it really does create this strong magnetism. And over the years, you know, you start to feel like that energy really is withdrawing from the body, from the personality, from the likes and dislikes, and you can just enjoy that feeling of, instead of feeling so separate from the goal or from the masters, you start to feel it as a reality that, you know, God is ever with me, and I know it from experience, and there's just nothing quite like that. So I'm deeply grateful for that, and I found that if there are times when we aren't, you know, constantly, daily offering our energy up to be united with our source, with higher consciousness, then it's just so easy for those vrittis, those whirlpools in our spine to pull us down, because they have momentum. They have been swirling for years, for countless incarnations. And so we have to be making a conscious effort to bring that current, that river of energy up, and tossing those seeds of karma into the spiritual eye. And, you know, we have no idea how much karma is really being burnt up when we focus here at the point between the eyebrows. Regardless of whether we see the light or not, I think a lot more is happening than we can realize. And I was just thinking, the scriptures promise us even a little practice of this inward religion, kriya, meditation, will free us from dire fears and colossal suffering. So I don't know about you, but I'd like to avoid some of those dire fears and colossal sufferings, if possible. And so just living in the presence of God and practicing regularly. When I first received kriya, I remember hearing a Devrishi play a chant for the first time that I had never heard before, and I think we all know how sweet it is when we hear a new chant. It's like, wow, what's this one? And it was Desire, My Great Enemy. There's a lot of words in there, and I was just soaking it all up. I mean, imagine hearing that chant for the first time at your first kriya. It was pretty epic. And when the phrase came, you won't have to fear anything anymore, I was like, whoa. Something pierced my heart open, and the tears came. It was just like, wow, who can promise, who can make such a promise? Who can give us such security in the world that we live in today? And it was just like, wow, this is the best gift ever. I've got to stick with this. And it's not like I ever thought of myself as a fearful person or anything like that. It was just like, wow, this is something to be really grateful for. So just to honor Swami tonight and his example of living fearlessly in every way, I was just thinking about, you know, when he was building this community, he came upon challenge after challenge, so many problems and difficulties which he felt that sometimes were seemingly impossible to solve, and yet time and time again there were solutions given to him. And he said, you know, if this had only solutions had only come now and then, you could say it is a coincidence or good luck, but because they kept coming over and over again, he knew God was with him, he knew Master was giving him those solutions. And in that sense, he felt like Master really did build this community. And, you know, even when his own guru bhais tried to take everything from him, he realized there's one thing that they can never touch, which is his connection to Master, that guru-disciple relationship. And so may we continue to live inspired by his beautiful example, and each of us receive inspiration from each other, because we're all living this beautiful life of devotion and dedication to the guru.